I'm not sure how much of a rock I am, but I'm Andy Artis and I'm an alcoholic. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't this spiritual God. I wasn't connected to God anyway because I had a total resentment against it. But on the 11th day of May 1984, I said, God, please help me. I can't do this. I was blown out of my mind, arrested again. I was arrested a lot on a regular basis. I used to call on Wednesday night and say, do you have an extra cot? Because I'll probably be there before the weekend's over. But on Friday night, May 11th, 1984, I said, God, please help me. I can't do this anymore. Next morning, I got up. No headache, no bellyache, no shakes, nothing. But weird. And I knew this guy in Alcoholics Anonymous that went to a coffee shop, restaurant, bar. I used to go there every morning and get a little bit of coffee and my brandy. Because I kept a bottle in the drawer behind the counter. And I knew this guy would be there about 10 o'clock in the morning. And so I went there and started talking to him. And he didn't say right away, do you want to go to a meeting? He didn't say that. I met him there every morning for 8 days straight and didn't drink. And on the 8th day, he said, would you like to go to a meeting tonight? Because he convinced me through the process of talking to me about the benefits of staying sober prior to introducing me to the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the very first meeting he took me to was a treatment center that Travis mentioned. It was Pioneer Center North. And after the meeting, he said, you have three choices. You can stay here. You can go out and drink and die. Or you can follow me around. I said, well, being locked up never kept me sober. And drinking to die hasn't happened yet. I've been on a deathbed more than once. And I just walk away and drink more. I said, so I think I'll follow you around. I've been doing that since. I was 30 days sober. They gave me a key to the building to get in and open up. And it took me another 30 days to realize I didn't need a key to get in the door. I thought, these guys trust me. Give me a key to their building. And I get to collect money and take it to the bank. Wow, they trust me with money? Wow. What is this Alcoholics Anonymous stuff? This is crazy. But nobody had trusted me in a long time. I didn't even trust me. And so when I got the basket going around, I put it in an envelope and I had to walk it down to the bank. Something happened to me along the way. I don't know what it was, but you guys bit me hard. And I stuck around. I grew up like Travis did in an alcoholic family. I thought you were supposed to drink. I thought you were supposed to be mean. I remember when I was a teenager, my mom says, you got a wooden heart. You don't care about anybody, including yourself. And then several years later, she said, I wish you'd quit trying to kill yourself. My drinking was that bad. My alcoholic locker at school, they were tired of me spilling 151 rum in the locker and it stunk so bad. So it's like, that was just my lifestyle. I worked in the woods, I worked construction, a lot of physical stuff. When I got sober, before I got sober, I started losing my eyesight. And everybody said, how come you're driving when you're becoming legally blind? And I said, don't most blind people drive drunk? Or don't most drunk people drive blind? That's just me. And, so anyway, this guy that took me to my first meeting, 12-step me, I was at his house after I was sober a couple weeks. I hadn't asked him to be my sponsor yet, but he became my sponsor. But I was sitting in his dining room. He got up, excused himself, went to the bathroom. His wife was a staunch Al-Anon. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do about sponsorship. And she says, Andy, Bill will be your sponsor. I said, okay. That's how I got my first sponsor. His wife appointed him to me. But it worked really well. I still owned a vehicle. Although I was living in a ballpark, I was high class living in a ballpark. I don't live in a ballpark anymore, which is kind of nice. And she knew my vision problems. And she said, Andy, I don't think you should be driving. And then Bill said to me, Andy, you probably shouldn't be driving. And my doctor said to me, Andy, you probably shouldn't be driving. And so my sponsor's wife said, Andy, did you ever think about selling your pickup? I said, really? And so I did. I sold it and got rid of it. And then I was sober a little less than 4 months because I got sober in May. And on Labor Day that year, I had to come to Seattle and go through blind rehab in Rainier Valley. And so the Cedar Woolley group, which was my home group, said, Andy, we want you to go to the Empire Way group, which was, I didn't know where it was, but I was living at 37th and Rainier, at the Rainier Lions Insight Center. And at the time, the Empire Way meeting was meeting 2.5 blocks away from there. Like, how did this happen? So I called the intergroup. I got to Seattle and I said, I'm supposed to get a hold of somebody at intergroup to go to a meeting. And they said, oh, good, we'll have somebody call you. And so this guy calls, he's, hi, I'm Bob number 8. Or no, he was Bob number 7. Bob number 7 called me. He says, we'll pick you up tonight. Okay, so I go downstairs, I said, you're Bob number 7? He said, no, I'm Bob number 8. So, I said, everybody at Empire Way named Bob? So, no. So I thought we were going a long ways, and he drives 2.5 blocks. He said, we're here. And I said, I could have walked this far. But anyway, so I got involved with the Empire Way group. Not heavily right away. I got busy with my rehab, learning how to read Braille and learning how to travel with a white cane. And I wore, instead of masks, I wore blindfolds all the time. And I did that for 7 months, wore a blindfold. Took a woodshop course, have all my fingers left. Bandsaws, table saws, radial arms, sort of everything. And I kind of got busy and didn't go to a lot of AA right then. And I found myself sitting in a bar one night. Didn't drink. But I was sitting alongside a woman I didn't want to be with. My old motive, sitting in a bar with somebody you don't care about. And see if you can be the big guy. You know, it's like, and I sat there and I was drinking a cup of coffee and a bartender come over and said, you want another cup of coffee? And I said, no, I'm leaving. So I went back to my place. I was living by Northgate. I picked up a phone and called a drunk. Instead of calling my sponsor, I called the drunk. I called my mom, she was a drunk, and says, she said, I think you ought to come home. I wasn't welcome to stay at her house because my stepdad and I didn't get along. And what she meant was come back to Alcoholics Anonymous. So the next morning, I went back to Cedar Woolley, back to my home group. As soon as I walked in the door, I felt like I was at home. So I stayed there another year and a half, come back to Seattle, and went to work at Department of Services for the Blind in Rainier Valley, and jumped right into Empire Way group, head over heels. And haven't looked back since. My life was looking, I remember being in Skagit County Jail and in and out. And this one time I was standing there by the bars and this jailer hung up this note. It says, see this, Andy, this is 20 years in the pen. He says, see this one? This one's another 20 years in the pen. What are you going to do with your life? I said, as soon as you turn a key, I'm going to get drunk. That's just who I was. I didn't care. I was not a nice guy. And some people I hang out with that got sober nowadays, and they got sober. Even my sponsor says, "Andy, when you came in, you scared me." And I didn't think I didn't think anybody scared him. But he told me that. He told me he waited till I was 35 years sober to tell me that. I was not a nice guy, but you guys taught me how to be a nice guy. And I figured out along the way how come that I wasn't a nice guy, because I've been married 6 times. Colette's number 6.
Number 6.
Yay. And we've only been married for 30 years.
That's crazy.
How'd that happen? It's your fault. Osri was talking about the guy stumbling around in the dark, just a block from here with his head in his hands, trying to figure out what's going on. And the baby being born today was written by a non-alcoholic. Bernard Smith, he was the first chair of the board of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he was a guy that helped build the architecture work for the 12 concepts of World Service. We got a lot of our help from non-alcoholics. I loved it when she read that. So it's like, I remember my first time at Seattle Intergroup, was not this building, a few buildings back. We used to go down there, a lot of groups still do it, go down there and spend a night a week or a night a month and answer phones. That's how I got involved in Seattle Intergroup. I really like Seattle Intergroup a lot. And I still get calls once in a while, even though I'm not here anymore, I'm in Anacortes, about Seattle Intergroup. And I get to come down here and visit once in a while. It's Austria called me, sent me an email and called me about coming here to speak. And she wanted me here 2 weeks ago. I said, "Sorry, I'm going to be on a cruise." And she said something about the Seattle group. I said, "Oh yeah, April 19th. She said, "Okay." Because numbers like dates just pop into my head, like where assemblies have been and all that stuff. It was here, all that kind of stuff. I don't know why. I guess I've been blessed with a memory or something. I wasn't blessed with eyesight, that's for sure. I remember 2 years before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was looking at a judge one more time. And he said, "Andy, I'm going to send you to Alcoholics Anonymous." I said, "Do I have an option?" He said, "Yeah, you can go to Alcoholics Anonymous or you can go to jail." I said, "I'll take jail." I had no idea what Alcoholics Anonymous was, except that I used to work with a couple of guys that got sent to Alcoholics Anonymous to save their job and save their driver's license. And so when the judge says Alcoholics Anonymous or jail, I said, "Jail's easier because I don't have a job and I don't have a driver's license to save." Because I had not a clue what Alcoholics Anonymous was. But the guy that 12-stepped me, I knew he was in Alcoholics Anonymous because he used to hang out with my first father-in-law. Yeah, the first one. Yeah. My first father-in-law was a drunk like I was. He'd call me in the middle of the night. He said, "Can you come and help me?" I said, "Where are you this time?" And he said, "Well, I'm in the ditch." And I got. And so, I mean, we helped each other a lot because we were both drunks. And so I remember early in sobriety, the current sponsor I have, he just turned 46 years sober last month. We were going to prisons together because I do a lot of volunteer work at Monroe Prison. I still do as soon as they open back up for me to go there. I'm a coordinator for 2 different districts. I go into a couple of different units, but we were coming home. I was in my 4th marriage at the time, and it wasn't working. So this guy that's my current sponsor said, "Andy, why don't you do a 4-step on relationships and start with your mother?" Like, I said, "Why don't you shut up? You're not my sponsor." He was right. He was right. The relationships I had weren't the other person's fault. They were my fault. And then after I started working on it, I still had one more failure after that. But I can't explain it as a real failure because everything I do is a learning experience, whether it works out right or wrong. It's a learning experience. I get to learn something when I do it. And I learned I had to be nice and care about somebody besides Andy. This friend of mine taught me this wonderful statement, and I just love it. I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My first sponsor says, Andy, you need to put a post-it note on your mirror since you're looking at the problem. These guys weren't very nice to me when I got here. You guys told me the truth. And I didn't know the truth when I got here. And so I had to learn. So I think Colette and I get along most of the time. We must because we're still together. I'm doing something right. I'm not drinking. I'm not abusing. And I'm not cheating. Because I'm just like all other alcoholics. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was a liar, a cheat, a thief. I learned that growing up. My mom's boyfriend lived across the alley. My dad's girlfriend lived 4 blocks down the street. And he used to take me to the diner that she worked at so I could visit with her and he could have fun flirting with his girlfriend across the counter. And so I learned that old adage, don't go kissing by the garden gate. Love is blind, but the neighbors ain't. That's beans. Because the neighbors know. And so I grew up in that kind of an attitude. I thought, it's okay. My first wife accused me of cheating on her all the time, and she probably was right because she caught me a couple times. Isn't this the way life works? And she accused me of sleeping with somebody I didn't. I said, if you don't shut up, I'm going to go do it. That's the kind of husband I was. And then I would take jobs and take me away from home like 5-6 days every week. And I didn't want to be there. I don't do stuff like that anymore. Because I learned that in this program, we need to be nice. We need to treat the people we love like a sick friend. Even when things aren't right, we need to treat them like a sick friend. With kindness and consideration and care. And I try to do that as often as possible. I'm not perfect. I still grump at her. Like this morning, she said, are you in the shower? I said, yes. So wanted to make sure she heard me. So I'm human. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me. I can be human. It's interesting how we take a look at things with a different eyesight today. I like Chuck C's book, A New Pair of Glasses. When Colette and I got married, we had part of that book read at our wedding. Talks about relationships aren't 50-50, they're 1,000-to-1. It talks about for free and for fun. We do this for free and for fun. And we had that kind of stuff read at our wedding. And the interesting thing about our wedding, we got married in Kent, and half of Empire Way, I think, was there. We got married on my 7th AA birthday. And the following week on Wednesday, I got arrested. You heard this a lot in your life. I didn't do it. Well, I hadn't done it. Had a false allegation, and I got to stand before a judge and a jury in my 7th year of sobriety. My sponsor was there. A couple other people from Empire Way was there at the court. They kept asking me to plead guilty to something I didn't do. I said, no. I don't know how many of you guys remember Eric B. from Empire Way, Mr. Spiritual Giant. I took him out to lunch. I told him the situation. I said, what do you think, Eric? And he sat there very quietly for a moment. And he said, maybe God wants you to be an inside coordinator. I said, Eric, that's not exactly what I wanted to hear. Because I was looking at 42 months in prison for something I didn't do. The thing I was accused of, the time I was accused of doing it, Colette and I were writing our wedding invitations at the same time. It's like, how could I do that? When Colette and I were writing our wedding invitations together, I wasn't even with the person, in the same room with the person or anything. So it worked out pretty well. We went to court, and Colette and I took turns praying about it. I said, God, whatever you want, it's up to you. Now it was I didn't have to sit on a stand or anything. I lost jobs over it, $10,000 over it, and stayed sober over it. We can stay sober no matter what happens in life. Colette didn't divorce me. 4 days after we got married, she went to bat for me and got the bail together to get me out of jail. And the jury sent me home, which was really thankful. I was told when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, you can do anything you want in life and not drink. One night we were at Seattle Intergroup, I got a call and said, you need to come to Mount Vernon, your mom's dead. Or she'll be dead before you get here or whatever. And so we jumped in the car, went up there, and of course she was. Didn't drink. I mean, we lose family. We look at judges. We do lots of things. And we don't have to drink if we work the steps of this program. My sponsor at the time was Vito from Empire Way Group. And him and I sit in a shopping mall parking lot and get a fourth and a fifth step on the judge, the jury, the prosecutors, and the whole works before the trial even happened. I didn't know who the jury was. I just knew that there was going to be a jury. I didn't know who the judge was or the prosecutor or anything. I just used their titles, not their names, and did fourth and a fifth step on these people and blessed them before it ever happened and gave them forgiveness before it ever happened. I think if we live right, what you guys have taught me to do, we get to do anything we want in Alcoholics Anonymous and be sober. I've been sober for a long time. Not as long as probably some people longer than me. I hope there's some new people here. I didn't think I could be delegate because of my blindness. And Ernie Mills was my sponsor when I got elected. It was at Ocean Shores in year 2000. I was almost elected on the first ballot, which gave me heart palpitations. I was like 4 votes short of being 2/3 on the first ballot. It's like, whoa. And there was another guy on our area committee at the time that called me a week before and said, Andy, I don't think you're going to be elected. People haven't seen you enough. And I calmly said, well, you may have a point there, and you're entitled to your opinion. And I said, whatever God wants and Alcoholics Anonymous wants is what's happening. I've learned how to accept that stuff in life. It's not up to me what happens. And then I got elected on the second ballot. But Ernie said to me, you don't have to prove anything. You just have to show them you can do it. There's a difference between proving and showing. And I just showed up and did my job and came back here and showed up, did my job. I got to be one of the lucky people to vote for the printing of the fourth edition Big Book. I got to help title the book that came out with all the stories in it, Experience, Strength, and Hope. I got to be one of the ones that made sure that Hank's story was in that book because they weren't going to put it in. Because you guys have taught me to stand up for what I believe in. And the reason that we wanted Hank's story in there was it was in the first printing of the first edition, but it wasn't in the second printing of the first edition because Bill took it out. because him and Hank were in a row and Hank got drunk. And some of us went to the microphone at the conference and said, it was in the very first printing, so it's part of our history. If it's part of our history, it needs to be in our literature now so that people can see it. And it's a phenomenal story. It's called The Unbeliever. If you haven't read it, it's written right to, like a real alcoholic, and it really makes sense to me. But we need to stand up for what we believe in. We need to stand up for each other. I had these incredible experiences. As a delegate, I would have groups call me and districts call me and say, our treasurer run away with the money. Should we have him arrested? I said, no, you shouldn't have him arrested. They said, why not? Well, you chose him as a treasurer, didn't you? You authorized him to sign the checks, didn't you? You gave him your bank account, didn't you? They said, yeah. And I said, well, why should you have him arrested then? Or why should you have her arrested? Well, they said, you guys chose him. You guys gave him the money. You guys trusted him. I said, I'm going to tell you the first thing my sponsor told me is put a post-it note on the bathroom mirror so you can look. It says, I'm looking at the problem. And a lot of them came back and thanked me later because they got to learn a lot. They got to learn a lot. I said that alcohol, John Barleycorn, is punished is all enough. We don't need punishment when we get to Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't need our fellow recovering alcoholics to punish us. We need to treat them like we like them. We need to treat them like we love them. And I said, they'll probably come back to this program and make amends when they do the next fourth and fifth step and do the ninth step. They'll probably make amends. And besides, one more thing, if you have them arrested, it'll be in the police blotter in the local newspaper. Alcoholics Anonymous had one of their members arrested. Do you think we want to put a black mark on Alcoholics Anonymous like that? And people don't even, a lot of groups don't even think about that stuff. A lot of districts don't think about that stuff. But we have to be aware of our actions. I learned that the hard way because I didn't take care of my actions before I got here. When I got here, I got to learn how to be responsible for my actions. One of the first long words I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous was ramifications. I mean, I have to be responsible for everything I do. When I got married for the first time in Alcoholics Anonymous, my sponsor says, Andy, remember, you can't blame it on alcohol anymore. You have to be responsible for your own actions. I hated it. I said, on that note, would you be my best man? He said, sure. And it didn't work, but I got to learn a lot. I got a son out of it, too. My baby is 34 years old. Good kid, family, job, home. I wish I could have done that in my 30s. I sure as heck couldn't have. I passed on a few good things in life to my kids. My daughter just turned a year sober last month. My grandson, who just got out of prison 3 years ago, it'll be 3 years in November. It's 2.5 years sober. I just got married this summer. I got to go to my grandson's wedding. It's amazing that this program reaches a lot of people. And it reached people like me. It reached people like you. And how do we get to be the chosen few? I don't know. They say one out of every 10 people are alcoholics, and one out of every 10 people in Alcoholics Anonymous get to make it. Yeah. And you can lay down.
Yeah.
She's telling you time's up.
Is it?
Oh, it's exactly 30 minutes.
Is it 7?
It's been exactly 30 minutes.
Wow. She's a smart dog. I want to thank you for allowing me to share tonight. And thank you for inviting me down here. It's an honor to stand in front of fellow alcoholics and to say that without you, I couldn't have done this. It's your fault I'm here today. It's your fault I'm sober. It's your fault I'm married to this wonderful lady. And it's your fault I got to meet somebody like Oscar, who got to serve in a position that most people don't get to serve in. And thank you.